The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Prestige Jayco brings us, unfortunately for him.
Not to me, but it does happen.
We'll move on from that. Unfortunately for him, he's in the K-Rock box. Fortunate for us that he's here because we're looking forward to having a chat with him. We haven't spoken to him for a while. Of course, pick 15 in last year's national draft from Claremont in the Waffle. He's played 18 games and kicked 11 goals. Made an absolute star, rising star nomination in there as well. But injury has him in the K-Rock box. Thanks to Jordan Clark for joining us. Thanks, Jordan. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys as well. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here for Prestige, Jayco. The first question everybody want to know is, how is the elbow going after that little incident at training going on 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, so initially, first thoughts were wasn't good at all. And obviously, everyone thought season was in doubt. But scans and that revealed some sort of hope to get back and play this year. And so far, so good. My rehab and recovery has been really good. And we're staring down the barrel of me playing next week in the VFL.
Fantastic. So take us through the incident. It was captured on footage, but not everybody would have seen it. Can you tell us what happened? It was a bit of competitive work.
Yeah, so it was just it was quite a physical session, actually, that the coaches had planned. And it was really early on, I think.
They'll bring the mouth guards.
Yeah, so it was about just over 5 minutes into the main training session. And just in a marking contest with Zach Smith, and might add that I did outmark him as well. And then he did...
That's the reason they're not playing. No,
and then he didn't clean me up, sort of clipped my arms in the air, and it forced me to fall sideways and just put my arm out to brace myself. And turns out that my elbow sort of snapped or jerked in towards my body and ripped all the ligaments and muscle clean off the bone.
The photos of you show you in obvious distress. What's flashing through your mind when that happens?
So I've actually done that injury before. I did it maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it was actually a fracture which had me out for 8 weeks. So my initial thoughts were that again, and I was you just think season done, and obviously you're in a pretty good position, and it's pretty hard to cop at the time. But then you also have that thought in the back of your head that scans, x-rays, yet it could be better than what you first think. So fortunately it was, and still not the best result, but I can get back and play this year.
Jordan, is that one of the things that's the biggest step up, is that physicality and ongoing physicality for 100 minutes just getting belted and whacked and your body having to recover in a limited period, especially tight turnarounds, 5 or 6 days? Is that one of the things you've noticed in the step up, and how are you, I suppose, trying to counter that? What are you doing in terms of getting your body better and better each time and looking ahead to next season?
Yeah, so obviously it's quite a decent step up. The bodies are a little bit bigger and stronger, and I actually enjoy that side of the game. I like getting smashed around a little bit, but at training, this particular incident wasn't too much body contact. It was more just awkward landing and a bit of unfortunate luck, really. But each day, week to week, we're in the gym, we're doing those sorts of stuff and trying to get bigger and stronger, better. So
and how is yours holding up? I mean, you would have noticed it this year.
Yep. My body's been really good, so I fortunately pull up after games really well this year. I haven't really pulled up too sore at all, so I've been really good, and hopefully that lasts for a few more years yet, but it's highly unlikely.
For Prestige, Jayco, Australia's number one motorhome dealer. We're speaking with young cat Jordan Clark. He's Pete Ryan.
Jordan, just a quick one on that elbow. Will you need surgery post-season, or what's the expectation there?
Yeah, so I definitely will have surgery post-season. It's sort of an injury that needs to be fixed properly with surgery, but as the docs and the people around the club discussed it, we'd try and get me back to play this year and delay that surgery until after the season's end.
And just obviously you've had a great first season until that injury put you out. What's been the biggest challenge, and how have you found your first season?
Yeah, really good. I was happy to play that amount of games. I mean, I wasn't playing as well as I probably thought I could, but I guess that's the expectation. Us young boys come in, we think we can play how we were in the underage footy, but sometimes it doesn't quite work like that. There might be a few exceptions, but generally speaking, the 18-year-old, 19-year-old boys that come in aren't as consistent as they're expected to be and as we expect ourselves to be. So I've quite enjoyed this step up, and hopefully can just keep getting better.
Jordan, obviously last home and away game today, finals in 2 weeks. We're going to read and hear everything about every team that's made the eight, why they can and can't win the premiership. Why can Geelong win the premiership?
To be honest, think it's pretty old. Well, what I'm going to say is we've been in the top two the whole year. So it's probably not much more to it than that. Obviously, we've been in the best couple of teams this year. We've been 1 and 2 the whole year. So that's probably the easiest explanation. And being the best two teams, generally one of the best two teams will win. So,
okay, that's a given.
Yep.
First half of the year put you on top. Second half of the year's been up and down.
Yep.
What do you need to fix in the second half of the year to win the premiership?
Yeah, just probably, I wouldn't say so much fixing things. It'd be going back to what we were doing right at the start of the year. And I thought in the second half of the year we've sort of gone away from that a little bit. So,
which was what?
Oh, I don't really want to put it out there, but...
yeah. He's good.
Give us fresh air.
A question for that, a follow-up. Can Geelong win the premiership without Jordan Clarke?
Oh, of course. I mean...
You're going to say no. No, they can't.
Welcome to K-Rock. You're listening to us here. We're going to make it easier for you. Tom Monaghan's hopefully going to be a bit softer on you.
Bit of a short stuff, mate. And you are a cricketer. That's why I'm giving you a short ball. You were a cricketer. When did you decide that... very good young underage cricketer. When did you decide that footy was for you, mate?
I sort of decided probably about three months out from the draft that I'd take footy. So it was quite a late decision, if I must say. But, yeah, so obviously never done a pre-season. Obviously came in last year and had glandular fever, so didn't do much of the AFL pre-season in there. So.
And what representative teams cricket-wise you get into? Australia? Did I hear that?
Yep. Australian under-16s team. So played a carnival there against Pakistan and then all just the States.
Batter or bowler, mate?
Bowler.
You took a hat-trick.
You're very quietly just waiting for us to bring into the fact you took a hat-trick.
No, it comes up every time, but I don't like bringing it up. So thanks for bringing that up.
No.
But now that you have.
Was that in Dubai?
Yes, yep.
Took that. All bowled, all LB, caught. How did it go? Come on, take us through it.
Okay, so...
Okay, then.
if I must.
Do you want the ball by ball?
Yeah, please. Go. Yeah, we've got time.
So my first ball was...
We want to hear Michael Holding's voice, though.
I can't do that, but I'll walk you through it. So first ball was just caught in the gully. First wicket, sorry, was caught in the gully, and... That was in my first spell when I was open to bowling, I reckon. And then I came back on in the tail and I'd gone a bit expensively, actually. It was 4 overs, 1 for 30. So pretty expensive in a one dayer. And then came back on at the end and I think I took 4 wickets in 5 balls to end up with a hat-trick and 5 plus. So they were...
So the wicket you took with the last ball of the first spell, was that the first wicket of the hat-trick?
No, it wasn't. So I came back in, finished... I bowled my first over, my second spell, the last 4 balls. So it was a wicket on the...
Second ball of the over.
Yep.
Yep.
Dot.
Yep.
And then
bang,
two
bang,
wickets.
Bang. Yep.
And then, spell ended.
Oh, okay.
They were 9 down and the opening batsman was still out there, actually. He was on 130. And he said to me in between overs that, Clark, you won't be getting a hat-trick today. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. Like, he's made about 400s in the series, mind you. So I was... Fair chance I wasn't getting it. And I ended up bowling to him my hat-trick ball the next over and knocked him over. So,
did you castle him?
Yeah, clean bowled. So that's how
did you sledge him?
Did you
sledge him?
No, I didn't need to.
Yes,
I was
you did.
Just carrying on. Put a bit of mayo on it. So.
Oh, brilliant.
Can you tell us about Squeeze?
Yeah. So that nickname came about as I learned to play the wing roll. We have a big thing at the club, which is Squeeze, the opposition winger. So obviously, man him up, be one-on-one with him in basic terms. And I came on the ground. I was about 2 minutes on the ground, and the runner came out, and he's giving me the rundown of, you know, got to squeeze. Came to the bench, and Joel hadn't... He looked at me, and the runner said it again. And then I got on the phone, and I was upstairs. The coaches said it to me, and then the bloke who hands me the phone had a word to me as well. Then, as I sit down, Joel looks at me and says it, and I turned to him and said, look, mate, I know, I've heard all about it for the last 10 minutes. Said that to the captain in about my fourth, fifth game. And ever since then, just got the nickname Squeeze, because he laughed it off and I laughed at the most time. Like, I was just It's pretty sarcastic. I wasn't having a go at him. I was just like, you know, it's one of those ones where you just, oh, mate, you know, I've heard all about it.
It's not a bad nickname, though.
Yeah, good. So now I've got that and the boys.
Did you have a moment there where you suddenly recoiled and went, maybe that bloke wearing 14, I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, I actually get along pretty well with him, so... yeah, but I did think at that time, I was like, probably shouldn't have said that. But then his reaction sort of was good enough. That
so
he laughed.
True leader, laughed it off. Yep. What about some of the other younger guys? Who are you hanging with? We saw, obviously, was it Quinton Narkle and Brandon Parfitt and Sav in the paper today with their pool table and a few things like that. I mean, are you around there with those guys?
Yeah, every now and then. Obviously, they're a little bit older, but and last year my draft group was quite a big group, so there's plenty of those boys to hang around as well. So I bash about with Oscar Brownless, Charlie Constable, just everyone really. You don't pick one and go with one. You just go with everyone and at each different times, and depends who's around and depends what people want to do. So,
and what about some of the older guys? Who are you learning off? Who are you thinking, okay, Locker's next to them, or I'm going to go and train in the weights room with these guys? Who are those guys out there that we'll know as players that might be 200 games into their career, but you're going to be learning off them?
So firstly, when I came in, I was really closely working with Tommy Stewart in the back line. Obviously I liked and wanted to play the way he plays, and was trying to learn a few things off him. And then I moved up into the wing role, and I've learnt a lot off Joel, and so probably very close with Joel out of the older boys. And Mitch Duncan also plays quite a good part in teaching me the wing role as well.
You've settled into Geelong nicely. You didn't muck around when they put a 2-year contract extension on the table either, did you? You're here till 2022, so no homesickness or anything like that?
No, obviously very happy with Geelong, and at that point I hadn't played a game, so obviously the playing game factor wasn't a part of it at the time there, and it was just purely that I love the town. And I've been around the boys, thought they were a very good group, and I felt right at home, to be honest.
You said there's a mixture of different characters. You obviously sit down at your locker some days and go, geez, Harry Taylor's a weirdo.
No.
Yes, you do.
Well,
come
played.
On, you
well
do.
Played,
put it this way, everyone's different. I mean, you could call Grime Myers a weirdo because he's hair and he doesn't wash it and stinks, but... yeah, Harry, like, he's a different bloke, but he's one of the old stalwarts who's an absolute ripper.
So, in Geordie's defence, he wasn't here when Harry put the ham in his sock, so...
Yeah, but he's got a TV. He's living in Perth. He's not living on Mars.
How have you not been overawed by some of the players that are around? You come into a club with Gary Ablett, Dangerfield, Selwood.
Yeah, so the first day you come in, you're a little bit overawed because these are the superstars of the game, and... they're the boys you look up to, want to be like, and everyone aspires to have careers like them. And you first meet them, and then the day after that, you come in and they're your teammates. They're just, and you quickly work out they're normal people as well. They're no more than just everyone else, really. They just play footy as a job, so that's it.
Do the pranks between the players still carry on? You say about Grime Myers doesn't wash his hair. Does anyone just drop a container of shampoo in his locker, or you know, blokes who stink, do they get a can of deodorant? And
not that I'm aware of, but that might be a good suggestion. Actually, I might drop a couple off the grind, to be honest, instead of one. So.
And a pair of scissors.
Yeah, oh, just
and
say
so take the hint.
You talked about some of the players here. Tell us about growing up, though. Let the K-Rock listeners know about growing up, because obviously you had cricket. Yep. So who were you trying to model yourself on there? Who were the heroes for you there? And in footy, growing up, I mean, who were the posters on the wall? Take us a little bit inside your childhood and how you eventually managed to get here and play football. Who were the ones that helped shape that?
So, as a child, like, I grew up playing footy and cricket. I started out playing basketball and quickly worked out I was no good and didn't like it. So I chose to play cricket in the summer, and I'm actually one of five children, so I've got three brothers as well, and we're all pretty close in age.
Where do you fit in the five?
I'm second.
Right.
And then I've got one either side of me, which we're 11 months apart, like, either way. So, we're all pretty close in age, and then obviously a pretty competitive backyard and playing the same teams together, and Dad was always involved with footy. He was CEO.
So which player were you, or which cricketer were you?
When I was little, because Dad was at Peel Thunder, and I watched Hayden Ballantyne come through, win the Sandover, get drafted. So I loved being Hayden Ballantyne, like, because I was so little and wanted to kick goals. And
bit niggly.
Yeah, then I grew up and sort of liked the way Elliot Yeo went about things. And, yeah, he's a very good player. And cricket, I actually really liked Coulton Isle. He was my favourite until I faced him one day and he took my head off. So and then he was...
What was that, in a development or...?
No, I was in the Wacker first grade Premier Cricket. So that was a real eye-opener of how quick some of these boys are. And I was lucky to get out of the way of it.
George, so you pick 15. You played in the National Carnival Championships. So did you have a good carnival, mate? And then when did you start thinking you were going to come to Geelong?
So my carnival was actually a pretty slow start. I nearly did not play the first practice match of the State 18s, and then luckily scraped in and played the first game on a wing, and we got absolutely belted by South Australia, and I think I had about 7 touches for the day. And at that point, I was wanting to play halfback. I'd been told all year that I won't play in the midfield, you're going to play halfback. And got to the first game, and Sumer told me that, you know, I'll play on the wing, and I was kind of happy about it until I didn't get a kick. And the next week, he said to me that there's an injury, one of the boys broke a finger, and that I'd go to halfback. And that's when it sort of, my form sort of turned for me. And I think I ended up playing pretty well the last 3 games and didn't really find out I'd come to Geelong until about 3 hours before the draft. Right. So, it happened pretty quickly.
Well, Jordy, we're glad that you're here. We're disappointed we're not seeing you out there in the number 6 this afternoon, but we can't wait to see you hopefully next week in a VFL final and then the following week in an AFL final in your first season, which would be a wonderful achievement. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us this afternoon, having a bit of fun with us, and we'll be calling you Squeeze from now on.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jordy Clark joining us. Thanks to Prestige Jayco, Australia's #1 motorhome dealer. We'll take a break. We're before the bounce. Thanks to the Ponds and Norland Hotels and Team Tyre Power. The Cats and the Blues just over a half an hour away on Live Breathe K-Rock Footy.
The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.